I want to look at this this morning, three crosses, two men, and God. I still like going into art galleries, and I really like the classical artists, and I like the impressionists, because I can usually tell what they're trying to depict, okay? But sometimes this new art stuff, I can't really identify with it. And so, but it is repackaged. I don't know that you can call it art, but, you know, maybe that's just my own taste, and I've even asked my daughter, who's an artist, to explain some things to me. I do like that commercial they have on TV where the guy is going through something, and he's got, like, just a dot, and he's in an art gallery, and he walks by and says, "It's just a dot." Okay? Well, how about vices and virtues? Okay? It's almost become difficult, not for a Christian, but for many in our culture today, to determine what a vice or a virtue is. Gambling is now so common in our nation, it used to be considered a vice. Is it considered a vice anymore, or is it just entertainment? I wouldn't call it a virtue by any shape of the imagination. It causes too many people to go bankrupt. But also temptations and sins. Things that we used to always know were sins aren't so much sin anymore. Living together before marriage, I'll never forget that I was counseling a couple, and they had both been married before. They were living together, and they had children. They had children from both previous marriages, and they had a child together. And this came up, and I just asked them, I said, "Why is it that you're wanting a Christian marriage?" He said, "Well, because we're both Christians." I said, "How come you're living together outside of marriage?" They said, "Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do?" I said, "No, it's not what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God." They said, "You mean all of our friends, all those people out there that are living together before marriage, they're living in sin?" I said, "Yeah, according to the Scripture, that's the case." She didn't know that. She did not know that. That's where our culture is today. A lot of people do not understand even the basic moral content of the Scriptures. So, temptations and sins, you know, people are confused out there. It's just a sign of our times. Now, repackage the old so it looks new. The gospel's never going to change. But what we might do is present it in a different manner. And you know who was our greatest model for that? The Apostle Paul. I mean, when he went into Athens, he saw all of these idols all over the place. And he said, "I can tell you are a godly people. You worship this god and that god and every god in between. And you are so religious." Not godly people, they were our religious people. He said, "You're so religious, you even have an altar for the unknown god. And I want to tell you about that unknown god." And so from that, he launched into a discussion of the gospel. He took them where they were, their understanding, and he launched into a presentation of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And he explained who God was. He explained who Jesus was and how Jesus had come to save them from their sins, how he had died on a cross as a sacrifice for their sins to pay their just punishment for how they were living, but they could be saved. Well, that's the great good news. And he just repackaged it. Today, we need to do the same thing. The message never changes. The message stays absolutely the same. If you change any of the Word of God, you're in big trouble, according to the Word itself. Don't do that. But if you want to bring along different methods that might be able to attract more people, or if you want to use a methodology that's new and inviting, that's fine. But the gospel will never change. Look at these verses. From the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Solomon, Ecclesiastes 1:9. There's not too much out there that's really original. Even as we try to do something new, it's probably been done before. We're not that original anymore. We've been around long enough. lot of things get repeated, a lot of things get done again. It was fun to hear that song from 1974 by Peterson. I hadn't heard it. It was new to me. Okay, I liked it. But a lot of things that people think have been done before or won't happen again, look at the styles. I think that's the most funny thing. For men, we don't change too much. But women, your styles seem to change a lot. But they seem to come back. So just hold it onto it, keep it in your closet long enough, ladies, and it'll come back. And if you're the same size, no offense, if you're the same size, you'd probably get back into it. Okay? Look at this now from Peter. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay? If you're buying into some new packaging that is not the truth, you can get in big trouble. And this hasn't changed either. Solomon was right. The enemy's out there looking to devour somebody. And just be aware that is the case. I mean, I still am shocked by having that couple in my office and her saying, "You mean all our friends that are living together are living in sin?" Yeah. Yes, they are. And she was just blown away. Well, she didn't know the truth. She didn't know because it had not been taught. That gives the enemy a big advantage. If people are attending a church that does not preach the gospel, if they are attending a church that does not complete or does not teach the whole of Scripture, then they're in trouble. Because a lot of times we can't cover everything. Even a Bible-preaching church can't cover everything in the Scripture. Not in usually a year. Give us about 6 years and maybe we can get around to about everything. But even then, there's new things all the time that we find in the Scripture. At least I do. As I read through the Scripture each year, I see new things. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That is wise advice, isn't it? You know where that comes from? It comes from God. All the way back in the book of Genesis. Sounds like it could be a good statement for right now, today, doesn't it? Because it's timeless truth. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. He is talking, God is talking to Cain. And this is right before Cain goes out and murders his brother Abel. So, timely. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain had brought an unacceptable sacrifice to God. Abel had brought a good sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice to God. And that's why God is saying this. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Same holds true today. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. It sounds a whole lot like what 1 Peter was saying. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A lot of similarities there. Let's look at knowledge versus character. Daniel, of course, Daniel had prophetic dreams. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. Do you ever feel like you're rushing here and there? Man, I do. You feel like you're just going crazy, you're rushing here and there all the time. Have you noticed, now maybe this is a shock to you, but have you noticed in the last 20 years that knowledge has just gone through the roof?
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you have smart houses now. Forget smartphones. You have smart houses. That's if you get a good internet connection. Otherwise, it's not going to work. But it's amazing the strides we have made in technology, the things that we have learned. I was having a great discussion. Danny, by the way, says hi. But we were talking about things that science has discovered. And it's things literally that we used to think as voodoo-type things out there. But we're finding the scientific basis for many, many, many things. Okay, knowledge is increasing. It's just amazing how much we're learning. You know, the one thing, though, that has never changed and never will change and is the answer to everything, it's this book right here. And no matter what we learn, it does not come into conflict with the Word of God. But here Daniel is saying, he's being told by an angel, Daniel, seal up this prophecy until the end of days. And how does the angel describe the end of days? People will be rushing here and there, and knowledge will increase. We've never had a time in human history when so much knowledge has come in such a short period of time. It's just amazing. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. I love that verse. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. Knowledge versus character. If you think you know everything, I can guarantee you, you're wrong. And the scripture's saying it right here. If you claim to know all the answers, you don't really know very much. You haven't lived very long. You haven't got any wisdom. And then, it's not about knowledge, the next statement. It's about trusting in somebody completely. But the person who loves God, trusts in Him completely, is the one whom God recognizes, is the one God will affirm, is the one that when we stand before the Lord, when our time has come, and Jesus will say, Father, I know Him. He'll recognize you as one of His followers, one of the believers in Jesus Christ. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That verse is so good, it was worth doing again. Now, how about this? Do we really believe this? All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Stop right there. Why can't we teach that in our schools? What a difference it would make in our culture if we could teach that. All Scripture is inspired by God. How many believe that? All Scripture is inspired by God. And is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Why would anybody be opposed to teaching that which is wrong and needs correction and teaching us how to do what is right? It used to happen all the time in this nation, but it doesn't anymore. The Bible has been outlawed, basically, in schools, but I believe that scripture to be absolutely true. I'm going to talk about two brothers and two thieves. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. As I mentioned earlier, Cain was upset because his sacrifice was not accepted. His brother's was. Cain becomes extremely jealous, extremely angry, even to the point of committing murder. Now, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, being Jesus. So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too, while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus goes on to say, today you will be with me in paradise. Look at those two situations. You have Cain and Abel, brother and brother. One brother brings an unacceptable sacrifice to God, but God talks to him and says, why are you so angry? If you do what's right, everything will be okay. Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice. One didn't, one did. The other one gets so angry, he kills his brother. You have two thieves on the cross. One is on the right of Jesus, one is on the left. One is badgering our Lord and saying, look, if you're the Messiah, save yourself, and while you're at it, save us too. You know, scoffing at our Savior. But the other thief, he repents. He says, look, aren't you afraid of God? We're guilty. So in essence, he was confessing. And then he asked for forgiveness. He says, Jesus, will you remember me? And Christ did. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the paradox, isn't it? Humankind always, some turn to God, some do not. I just have in my imagination anyway, I know which side was on, which thief was on the right and which was on the left. Because of the sheep and goat story. I can't help it. So we have Cain and Abel, we have the two thieves, and then, you know, there's a song. As a song, I kind of like it. I hate what it says. I did it my way. Frank sang that. Oh, so cool. So much humanism in that statement. You know what I would rather do? I did it God's way. Wouldn't sell near as much. But it would be a whole lot closer to the truth. Well, at least for those that are going to heaven. Let me put it this way. Again, it's the same thing. You had Cain, you had Abel. You had the repentant thief, and you had the unrepentant thief. You as an individual can say, I'm going to do everything my way, in my own power. And then you have another human being, could be your brother. I'm going to do things the Lord's way, and in the power of my God. I know which one of those two that I want to be, and I don't want to be the one singing, I did it my way. I want to do it God's way. Well, whose side was God on? Was he on Cain or Abel's side? Which thief was God on their side? Which one? Which one of the two was on God's side, or God was on his side? The same side he's always been on. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. That would get my attention. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or foe? Remember, Joshua was the general getting ready to take over the land of Canaan. Neither one, he replied. I am the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. Yeah, good idea, Josh. I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did as he was told. Smart man, Joshua. I am the commander of the Lord's army. So one of the old translations, it probably says, I am the Lord Almighty. Joshua wanted to be a man on the side of the Lord. Has the Lord ever changed sides? No. You know whose side he's on? He's on our side. He is on the side of every human being who will bow before him and confess him as Lord. Everyone who will accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He is on humanity's side. He provided the way for all humanity to be reunited, to be back in the family of God. But if we don't accept the free invitation and the free gift, then we'll be like Cain. We'll go our own way. Or we'll be like the thief on the cross that turned down an opportunity right at the end of his life to accept Christ as Lord. Abel definitely was in God's hands. The thief on the cross who asked Christ for forgiveness and to remember him said Christ said he'd be in heaven. He was in God's hands. God hasn't changed where he stands. He provided salvation for all of humankind and any human being who is willing to accept the gift of salvation will be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Lord has always been on our side. God hung on a cross between two representatives of humankind. God didn't move. One accepted him, the other did not. One criminal asked God to remember him or to forgive him, confessed his guilt, and was received by God. We can do the same right now, right today. The other criminal mocked and cursed God, shunned his salvation, and pridefully accepted the consequences all the way to hell. I don't want to do that. I hope none of you want to do that either. Which criminal are you? All have sinned and fall short of God's glorious grace. We're not perfect, but God made the provision so that we could be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. And because he provided the sacrifice through his own Son, Jesus Christ, in his justice, our penalty has been paid. But we must accept God's great salvation. You must appropriate it. It must become your own. And then just as the thief on the cross was told when he said, "Remember me, Jesus." And Christ said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Don't you want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Don't you want to hear him say, "I know this one, Father"? I sure do. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 22 through 23. It's the Word of God. Do you believe it? Or you don't? You accept it and accept all that it teaches? Or you don't? You accept the fact that Christ died for you? Or you don't? It's not really rocket science. But it makes an eternal difference. Let's sing together an old song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Which do you want? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have made it so clear we have a decision to make, whether we follow Christ or whether we follow the ways of the world. Lord God, I pray that everyone here will follow Christ. Lord, if there's any here who has not made that decision, may your Holy Spirit right now work in their heart, work in their life, work in their mind, so that they know the truth of the gospel. You gave us such an amazing gift by giving us the Word. It's a miraculous book. The only thing really we can count on to be true in this world. And you gave it to us. Lord God, may we seek you. For if we search for you, we will be found according to the Scripture. For Lord, we're really not the one. You have always been coming for us. You have always been on our side. You want to give us the free salvation you have that was paid for by Jesus. We are so grateful for the truth of your gospel. And Lord God, we pray that Jesus Christ would be praised in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives for the precious, precious penalty that he paid for each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would infiltrate every part of our being so that we may be true Christians, that we may be able to wear the name Christian properly so that you will be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name.